Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1928 with the release date of July 25th, 2014. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. FEMA and the ARRL announce a new memorandum of agreement. The International Amateur Radio Union Region 2 Executive Committee meets in Connecticut. Several 2-meter channels in the UK being used for the Commonwealth Games. Australian-launched ham radio balloon reaches South America. WA1ZMS named to receive the first triennial Brendan Medal and the last Big Collins shortwave transmitter saved from the scrap heap. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline, Report 1928, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is this week's report.
The ARRL and the Federal Emergency Management Agency have announced a new memorandum of agreement, one that's destined to enhance cooperation between the League and FEMA in the area of disaster communication. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with the details.
Calling radio one of the most resilient communications technologies we have, FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate penned his name to a memorandum of agreement with the American Radio Relay League, this to further mutual cooperation in times of disaster and preparing for such emergencies. The new agreement will allow FEMA and the ARRL to work together to provide resources, services, and personnel to fortify the relief agency's capacity in certain areas. These include emergency communications, disaster preparedness, along with response and recovery assistance. It will also task the two with jointly raising public awareness about the use of amateur radio as a public safety resource. The agreement also outlines the ways in which the two organizations will cooperate to carry out their individual responsibilities with respect to disaster mitigation, preparedness, response, and recovery operations, this in the event of a natural or man-made disaster. The signing ceremony took place July 18th. At the ARRL Centenary Convention in Hartford, Connecticut, with League President Kay Craigie and 3KN signing the document for the League. This agreement takes the United States Amateur Radio Service yet another step forward in becoming a vital communications resource when disaster strikes, especially in those instances when all other means of communications fail. And to quote FEMA Administrator Fugate, amateur radio is taking that hobby and turning it into saving lives. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Los Angeles.
After FEMA Administrator Fugate's talk, League President Craigie presented him with the ARRL Medal of Honor. The annual Executive Committee meeting of the International Amateur Radio Union Region 2 was held in Hartford, Connecticut on July 15th and 16th, just prior to the start of the ARRL Centennial Convention. At that gathering, all annual reports were reviewed along with the situation of each member's society. Future plans were also discussed, and there were comments about the situation of amateur radio, especially in Region 2. According to a news release, all those present were very satisfied with the results of the gathering and confirmed their commitment to continue working for the benefit of their respective member societies and of amateur radio. The European Radio Amateurs Organization held its 2014 annual assembly at the recent ham radio gathering in Friedrichshafen, Germany. At the gathering were delegates from Austria, Belgium, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Bulgaria, Croatia, Czech Republic, France, Hungary, Italy, Japan, Lithuania, Netherlands, Romania, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, the UAE, United Kingdom, USA, and of course the host country, Germany. The session is described as having been a friendly international workshop where several new projects were discussed. Information on these is expected to be released in the near future. The Radio Society of Great Britain says that 425 kHz bandwidth channels in the 2-meter band between 144 and 144.1 MHz are being used at the Commonwealth Games that began on July 22nd and will conclude on August 4th. This following negotiations between the United Kingdom's National Amateur Radio Society and Telecommunications Ofcom. Usage of this spectrum by the Commonwealth Games will be limited to the vicinity of Glasgow, Scotland Games venues, and will be limited to handheld equipment operating on a maximum of 5 watts of effective radiated power. Ofcom emphasizes that use of primary amateur spectrum is only for the specified time period and does not constitute a long-term change of usage. In making the announcement, Ofcom said that it was aware of the very short notice of the United Kingdom's ham radio community. Therefore, the authorization for use of this spectrum is on a non-interference, non-protection basis. That said, hams in the Glasgow area are requested to avoid these frequencies until the 4th of August. In June 2009, Ireland's telecommunications regulator, ComReg, introduced a new amateur station licensing system. Under those rules, station licenses are granted for the lifetime of the licensee with the condition that he or she check in with ComReg every 5 years to confirm whether the details of the license are correct. Now, ComReg has begun notifying licensees who have held their licenses for 5 years that their license detail confirmation is required and informing them how to comply with this license condition. Correspondence to hams will be issued approximately 2 months before the anniversary of the license issue date. Those with a registered email address will be notified that way, while other hams who have no registered email will get theirs by postal mail. The notifications will provide detailed instructions to each license holder on how to make their returns, which must be done via ComReg's e-licensing website. As such, this will require all hams in Ireland to gain web access to provide ComReg with a valid email address. A small Australian high-altitude floater balloon signing the call VK3YT/8 reached South America and is now believed headed further east. Amateur Radio Newsline Stephen Kinford, NAWB, reports.
The Pico balloon was the idea of Andy Nagayan, VK3YT. Along with his support team, VK3YT launched the tiny balloon carrying amateur radio tracking gear from Central Victoria State in Australia on Sunday, July 13th. The balloon traveled eastward across the Pacific Ocean, eventually reaching the South American coastline. It did not land, but continued its trek east. According to its last copied APRS data, it appeared to be at an altitude of about 29,000 feet and some 50 miles north of Brasilia. The belief is that the floater balloon left the Brazilian coastline on the morning of July 22nd and is continuing to fly eastward. Where it will finally come to rest is at this time unknown, but some low-altitude floater balloons have been shown to have an almost unlimited range. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB reporting.
Floater balloons are usually those silverized party balloons that hams equip with micropower APRS beacons that are either battery or solar powered. Those interested in this project can get the latest information by putting the call VK3YT/8 into the APRS.fi tracking website. In DX Upfront, word that K3TRM will be operational as VP2ERM from Anguilla through August 3rd. Activity will be on the high frequency bands plus 6 meters using CW, single sideband, and RTTY. Real-time logging will be available on Club Log, QSL, direct or by the Bureau to his home call sign. Electronic QSLs via OQRS on Club Log and Logbook to the World. Additional information will be available at www.k3trm.com and on Twitter at K3TRM. N7XR is planning to be operational as VQ9XR from Diego Garcia at least twice this year. Right now, his planned operations are for 3 weeks in August, followed by a one-week trip in October or November. On both of his activities, he'll be focusing on CW and RTTY. QSL via NN1N, direct or electronically, using Logbook to the World only. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Three Rivers Amateur Radio Club repeater serving Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Two hams have been issued apparent liability to monetary forfeitures. This for alleged interference to other amateur service communications in the 20-meter band. On July 22nd, the FCC notified Michael Guernsey, KZ80 of Parchment, Michigan, that it was proposing to fine him $22,000 after agents monitored transmissions from his station for approximately 40 minutes on March 7, 2014. During that time, the FCC says that the agents heard him transmit a pre-recorded song and other noises on the frequency of 14.313 megahertz, which interfered with the communications of other radio amateurs. Also, on July 22nd, the regulatory agency issued an $11,500 notice of apparent liability to Brian Crow, K3VR, of North Huntingdon, Pennsylvania. In this case, the FCC says that this past March 14th that its agents spent 3 hours monitoring transmissions purportedly emanating from K3VR station. At that time, the agents claimed to have heard the station transmit slow-scan television signals, as well as a recorded voice transmission of another amateur station. KZ80 and K3VR were each given the customary 30 days from the date of notices of apparent liability and were issued to pay the proposed fines or to file written statements seeking reduction or cancellation of the forfeitures. In both cases, the FCC says its agents used radio direction finding techniques to locate the sources of the transmissions. Bill Knamer, F5FUB, reports via the Daily DX Bulletin that ARRL DXCC manager Bill Moore, NC1L, was seriously injured in an automobile accident about 2 weeks ago. His neck was broken, leaving him paralyzed from his upper body down, with limited movement of his arms. Knamer says that NC1L's recovery will be difficult and slow and is not expected to be total. According to K5FUV, Bill would like to hear from his friends in the ham radio community. He is currently in the Mount Sinai Rehab Hospital in Hartford, but cards and get-well wishes should be sent to his home address at 92 Reservoir Road, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. Bernie McClenney, W3UR, who is the editor of the Daily DX, says that he knows that Bill and the family would greatly appreciate your thoughts and prayers during this difficult time. Three ham radio operators have been cited with aiding in the rescue of a man injured on a Colorado backcountry hiking trail. According to news reports, the Boulder County Sheriff's Office said ham radio operator Bill Eberl, AB0MY, was hiking on the 4th of July trail in Boulder County on Monday, July 21st, when he found a man who had fallen and was hurt. Eberl contacted Ryan Frederick, KD0TSZ, in Colorado Springs, who then called 911 dispatchers in Boulder County to relay the message. Meantime, Scott Whitehead, KA0QPT, with the Rocky Mountain Rescue Group, was able to contact Eberl and confirm the location of the hiker and his injuries. Dispatchers quickly sent rescuers from the Fire Protection District, Rocky Mountain Rescue Group, an ambulance, and Boulder County Sheriff's Office people to help. The rescuers found the injured man and brought him to safety. Deputies involved in the emergency call-out noted that the ham radio operators were a huge benefit to the rescuers. Schools across the nation are set to receive billions in federal dollars to bring Wi-Fi to more classrooms. This as the Federal Communications Commission on Friday, July 11th, approved a new plan that will spend $2 billion over a 2-year period to bring increased wireless internet capabilities to schools. More is on the web at tinyurl.com/in-school-broadband. The July/August 2014 issue of the free professional publication SAT Magazine features stories about Tech DemoSat, UCube 1 with its FunCube 2 boards, and DX1. Also included is the publication Oscar News, produced quarterly by AMSAT UK. The publication is available for download in PDF format at tinyurl.com/July-2014-SATMAG. The Radio Club of America is sponsoring a special event during the upcoming APCO convention and trade show. The use of amateur radio and digital technologies during the 2013 Colorado floods. The session will take place on Tuesday, August 5th from 7 to 9 in meeting room R06 of New Orleans Convention Center in Louisiana. The keynote speaker is Douglas Sharp, K2AD, who serves as the Director of Engineering at Osius Networks, Incorporated. Sharp is also the current chair of the Colorado Council of Amateur Radio Clubs. More information and a reservation form in PDF format is on the web at tinyurl.com/RCA-APCO-2014. The fourth annual World Digital ATV QSO Party will be held on August 29th and 30th. The event will have anchors in England, the United States, and Australia. This will be a show-and-tell format that uses a combination of direct inputs for those within range of interconnected ATV repeaters and other contributions via Skype. The entire session will be streamed by the British Amateur Television Club. Some names in the news. The Brendan Awards Committee has named Brian Justin WA1ZMS to receive the first triennial Brendan Medal. This for his work on setting up and maintaining his 2-meter transatlantic beacon system. The medal was to be presented to Justin by Irish Radio Transmitting Society President Seamus McCaig, EI8BP, during the recent ARRL Centennial Convention in Hartford, Connecticut. ARRL Chief Development Officer Mary Hobart, K1MMH, has announced her retirement effective July 31st. Hobart has served the league for the past 13 years and was the moving force behind the creation of the Diamond Club, the Diamond Terrace, the Maxim Society, the Second Century Campaign, and numerous other initiatives. This includes being one of the founders of the successful Teachers Institutes for Wireless Technology. According to the ARRL letter, during Hurricane Katrina, Hobart almost single-handedly created the Ham Aid program that provides new gear to amateurs who have lost their equipment in disasters. And in his tribute to K1MMH in the August issue of QST Magazine, ARRL Chief Operating Officer Harold Kramer, WJ1B, said that because of her efforts and those of her staff, she has raised millions of dollars for ARRL and ultimately for the benefits of amateur radio. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. When we think of communications, usually the words radio or broadband tend to come into our mind. But for those who are blind, getting access to the printed word makes communications take on a more far-reaching meaning. Amateur Radio Newsline Cheryl Asik, K9BIK, has the details of a new development that holds a lot of promise in this area.
Over the years, several devices have been devised to assist the blind to read text. The problem is that most have been fairly large, or they require some form of scanner coupled to a computer. Now comes word of a totally new and wearable unit developed by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Media Lab that promises far more flexibility to those who cannot see. The device, which is still in its prototype stage, is being called the finger reader. A tiny camera at the tip of the wearer's finger converts text into audio. The ring scanner also has the ability to track when the user's finger goes off the line of text with an alert that vibrates the ring. A market-ready version of the finger reader is still quite some time off, and there is no price point set on it yet. But the researchers believe it could be made available at a reasonable cost to consumers when it does eventually go on sale. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cheryl Lessig, K9BIK in Zion, Illinois.
Our thanks to Hap Holly, KC9RP, of the Radio Amateur Information Network for this information. A 6-meter beacon operating using a digital format has been heard over a 3,664-mile path. On Monday, July 21st, David Gatko, WD4KPD, located in Washington, North Carolina, was able to hear and decode the beacon transmission from Graham Brown, G0NBD at a signal strength of 18 decibels. The transmitting station used the Opera Mode OP with a 60-second transmit time preset for the 6-meter band. In news from around the world, the 2014 Japan DX meeting will be held on Saturday, August 23rd in Tokyo at the Time 24 building near the city's telecom center. Sessions will include information on the FT5ZM operation by LA6VM, the W41ITU expedition by OM1AM, and at least one other prominent speaker. The gathering will end with a DX dinner party and lottery. More information is available at tinyurl.com/Japan-DX-2014. If you're planning a trip to India this fall, then be aware that HamFest India 2014 will be held November 8th and 9th in the city of Hyderabad. This year's gathering will focus on the topics of antennas, DXing, operating, and homebrewing, with a number of interesting sessions hosted by experts in each field. For more information, as well as online registrations, take your web browser to www.hamfestindia.in. AMSAT has announced a launch opportunity for the Fox 1C CubeSat in the third quarter of 2015. To accomplish this, AMSAT has teamed with Spaceflight Incorporated for integration and launch into a sun-synchronous orbit using Spaceflight's Sherpa launch and deployment system. Fox 1C will carry an FM repeater system for use by radio hams and gain reports from listeners worldwide. Further details on the satellite and launch will be made available as soon as more information is released. After close to a decade of operation, India's ViewSat Oscar 52 has gone silent. Launched to orbit in 2005, the microbird was slated to last only 1 year, but surprised designers and controllers by operating more than 9 years on orbit. In making the announcement, the Indian Space Research Organization said that most likely the demise of VO-52 was caused by the complete failure of the satellite's lithium-ion batteries. On the air, keep a lookout for a special event station, YR-10-RRO, to be active now through August 3rd. This is to celebrate 10th anniversary of the launch of the Romanian ham radio website, radioamateur.ro. Ham's making contact with YR-10-RRO and accumulating a certain number of points will be eligible to claim a special event award. Full information is available at tinyurl.com/Romanian-web-contest. In DX, listen out for 5H1NE from Zanzibar Island, Tanzania, through August 6th. Activity will be holiday style on the HF bands using single sideband only. QSL via IK2 DUW. DL7VOA will be active stroke I-5 from Tuscany, Italy between August 11th and the 21st. This will be a holiday-style operation mainly during the evening and will be on 40 through 10 meters. QSL via DL7VOA, either direct or via the Bureau. OZ0J will be active stroke KH0 from Saipan's Island Rental Shack between August 26th and September 2nd. Operations will be on all possible bands between 80 and 6 meters using CW, single sideband, and the digital modes. All QSOs will be uploaded to Clublog once a day, depending on the internet connection. QSL OZ0J, either direct or via the Bureau. ZL1MGA is now active as YJ0MG from Espiritu Santo Island, Vanuatu, but the length of his stay is not known. So far, his operations have mainly been on 20-meter single sideband, QSL via his home call sign. JH1NBN will be active as C21BN from Nehru between July 27th and August 16th. Operations will be on 80 through 6 meters single sideband using simple antennas with 100 watts, QSL via his home call sign. Lastly, members of the Royal Omani Amateur Radio Society will once again be active as A-43MI from Masura Island between August 7th through the 11th. Operations will be on the high-frequency bands using CW single sideband and the digital modes. QSL via A-47RS, either direct or via the Bureau. And finally this week, a historic radio transmitter has been saved from the scrap heap, thanks to three organizations who work diligently to preserve it. Amateur Radio Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, has the story with a happy ending.
After the announced transfer of the Voice of America broadcasting station in Delano, California, to the General Services Administration for disposal, had potentially sealed the fate of the last complete Collins Model 821A-1 250,000-watt high-frequency auto-tune transmitters in the world. Meantime, the Collins Collectors Association and the Antique Wireless Association had formalized an alliance named the Collins Radio Heritage Group. Hearing of the potential loss of the transmitter, the latter group, working in cooperation with members of the Arthur A. Collins Legacy Association, began campaigning to save some of the significant historical artifacts related to the Delano Voice of America transmitter site. In December of 2013, a proposal was submitted to the Voice of America and the Government Services Administration to recover, preserve, and display the transmitter and the studio control console from the Delano site. This past May, the proposal was approved and recovery began. The effort was recently completed with these artifacts and other associated remote gear being removed and shipped to the Antique Wireless Association Museum in Bloomfield, New York, where they will be exhibited. I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
A future vision of the groups involved in saving the transmitter include coordinated displays in both Bloomfield, New York, and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, with live streaming video and audio connecting both locations. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Hal Rogers, K8CMD, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.